Over January, we're going to be looking at various psalms in a summer psalms series, and we're also going to be reading alongside that from 1 Thessalonians without necessarily referring to those 1 Thessalonians readings. Let me lead us in prayer to begin. Lord, thank you so much that you are indeed with us. The Christmas message that is a reality all year. I pray that you would help us to grasp that truth and in confidence of your presence and your care and control, that we would not fear but find comfort and hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. I wonder what it is you fear. Maybe it is drought or politics or health or depression. Maybe it's the fate of your children or something else going on in our society that makes you anxious or concerned. Just before Christmas, Kate and I had some days to ourselves without the children, thank you to my parents, and we found a spot called Drawing Room Rocks, and there's a picture going to appear of the beginning of the bushwalk that we embarked on. This is the warning sign, and at first we laughed. Because it warns you that you might die if you go on this bushwalk. You must take a GPS, you must take covered clothing. And we were standing there with a Coles bag to carry our drink bottles in and ready for this, you know, relaxed bushwalk. And we were challenged by this warning. And but when we did get to the top, and unfortunately I don't have a photo of the top to show you, though it was nice. You should do it for yourself. Don't want to spoil the ending. But we were standing up there then, and we noticed the mist and the clouds rushing up the mountain and were reminded just how quickly the weather can change. And we reminded each other of stories, both of us having been lost on the Castle Bushwalk up near Pigeon House Mountain, down near Pigeon House Mountain, Kate taking 3 days instead of one to negotiate her way back down, and me being stuck on the top of the castle with a mate, not knowing the way down, and there's a cliffs all the way around the edge and only one spot you can climb down with ropes. And in the pouring rain in our cotton jumpers, we were getting colder and colder until some experienced bushwalkers found us and helped us find the way down. But we were just reminded that in life, you never know what you're going to face. There are often trials and dangers, perhaps unexpected, that we might encounter. But Psalm 46 reminds us that no matter what we do encounter, we need not fear because God is with us. This, one of my more college lecturers calls the Emmanuel Psalm. Emmanuel meaning God with us. You've been singing your Christmas carols. God with us. This is the Christmas carol that lasts all year. God is our strength and refuge and ever-present help in trouble. He's always with us. It's a wonderful truth to celebrate at Christmas time, but it's a truth that the nation of Israel could sing as God dwelled in their midst in the temple. Psalm 46 is a national psalm of confidence that the nation would sing together. So you'll notice the introduction that Kate read to us for the director of music of the Sons of Korah, a group of Levites, the Sons of Korah, who would have led in worship in the temple, according to Alamoth, perhaps a tune that it was sung to, a song. This was a song they'd all sing together. And you can see the plural pronouns hint that direction as well. God is our strength and refuge. And then in the refrain of verse 7 and 11, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. One to sing together to remind each other of the confidence we can have in God because he is with us. The big theme that jumps out immediately is that God is our protector and our refuge. He keeps us safe. This is a crazy world that we live in and a crazy, unpredictable earth that we inhabit, where sometimes we get too little rain and sometimes we get too much. We're in the middle of a devastating drought in eastern Australia, and if you look at some pictures that might come on the screen, you'll see the way vegetation has disappeared from the eastern part of Australia over the past 2 years. It really has been devastating. Our supermarkets inoculate us from the reality of the drought because, oh, there's no beans from New South Wales. Let's get some from China somewhere or wherever they might come from. And that short-term solution, which makes us feel insulated from the drought, causes long-term problems. Because now we have less local capacity to feed ourselves as a nation. We don't necessarily think that way. We go to the supermarket and there's beans, and so it's all okay. Most of the time we feel insulated from the vagaries of the weather, but there are days like today where you realise that you just can't go outside in a way you normally would. You just can't do the things you normally would. And we realise how utterly dependent we are. We're not in control of what goes on when the water pump fails, where the air conditioner breaks, where the crops don't come in the way we expected them. And all of this is captured in the tumult of verses 2 and 3. As it describes the worst case scenario, the earth giving way, mountains falling into the heart of the sea, the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. And in the biblical imagery, the sea is the image of chaos, uncontrollable. You know, a storm can be whipped up in an instant and bring death and destruction. Many of you know, Kate and I have been planning and saving for a trip to go and see her brother and a side trip to Norway, which has perhaps become the main trip. And as we look forward to that, we thought, let's see if we can find a Norwegian film to watch. And we found a very encouraging disaster movie called The Wave. Here it is. And it's about Geringer Fjord, one of the most famous tourist fjords in Norway, and the threat, which is a very real threat, of half of a mountainside collapsing into the fjord, causing a tidal wave which would wipe out the entire village that all the tourists are staying in on the opposite side, which I'm sure we'll spend some time in. So it was a great movie to watch, perhaps after you visit Norway, not before. But we could see the mountains falling into the sea and the surging waters just destroying a whole town and hundreds of lives in the wake of the wave. Incredible, the power of the sea, even the fjord, the enormous power and relentless force of water displaced by mountain and the wave that surged, as we know happens in the tidal waves that occur as a result of earthquakes and the like in our region or just in the Pacific. But God is in control, and even in the midst of those chaotic events, crazier than you could ever imagine, we do not need to fear because God is with us. That's the message of the first stanza of the psalm. And the Israelites remember being rescued from the sea and the waters before. They remember Moses holding out his staff as the waters part, and they are able to walk across dry land, safe. And then those surging waters let go, collapsed upon the Egyptians, their enemies, and they were destroyed and the Israelites saved on through to the promised land, or at least to Sinai in the first instance. And so the Israelites know what it is for God to be in control of the surging sea. They know what it is to see the power of the water and its destruction. And that image is a good transition into the second stanza, because the second stanza moves from the powerful forces of the sea or of the natural world that bring about chaos and destruction to the powerful forces of the nation surrounding and the politics of our world, which often threatens just as menacingly. And so in the second stanza, we get a transition, first of all, from the surging waters of the sea and the chaos there to the calm stream that flows through the city of God and in fact brings life. God is so in control that the surging waters become a life-giving stream in the city of God. Have a look there with me at the next stanza, verse 4. There is a river. We go from the mountains quaking, the surging, the waters roaring, foaming, to verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. And what images come to mind as you hear about that stream that flows through? You can close your eyes and imagine being in the Garden of Eden, or perhaps in some rural town where the river runs through and brings life. And the green and the trees that are sustained by that river compared to the grey and the brown surrounding. The incredible life-giving stream. And here it is flowing through the city of God as a reminder of the life-giving waters of the rivers in Eden in Genesis chapter 2. And as a foreshadowing of the river of life that flows through in Revelation 22 with the two trees of life on either side that bear their fruit every month continually bringing life and sustaining life in the new heavens and earth. Incredible picture there. But here we see God is in control and the chaotic waters are calmed to a life-giving stream. It's a beautiful picture of the city of God. And here we see that the Israelites, as they sing this psalm, are not only rejoicing in God with them, but because God is in their city, Jerusalem, as he dwells in the tabernacle and the temple, well then the whole city is a place of refuge for them. And so the city of God is their place where they're safe and secure because God is with them. And that contrasts the peace in the city of God. Verse 5, God is within her, she will not fall, God will help her at break of day, contrasts with the surrounding nations in verse 6. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall, he lifts his voice, the earth melts. And we know that the Israelites lived through a tumultuous time with world powers rising and falling around them in Assyria and Babylon and others as the Egyptians ruled for certain periods of time. And we certainly live in a time, is it China, is it Russia, is it US, that are going to vie for power against one another, that are going to try and call for allegiance from other nations for supremacy in the world. It's scary to think. Not only is those national things are going on or international things, but the culture wars that are happening politically within our nation and outside our nation, where we wonder where our nation's going ahead, where those philosophical battle lines are drawn and we're drawn into conflict. And so in Psalm 46, in the chaos and the nations, there is the peace of being in God's city, of being in the place where God dwells with his people. God knew that he was with them. And during the book of Exodus, we read of God's rescue of the Israelites from Egypt and the climax where he comes to dwell in the tabernacle in their midst. He's with them. And as he comes, he brings security and confidence in the midst of their enemies that they will be safe and secure. And you might notice that the political turmoil of verse 6 echoes the natural turmoil of verses 2 and 3, where the waters roar and foam, the nations are in uproar. Where the mountains quake and fall into the heart of the sea, the kingdoms fall. And so there's a real parallel between the natural and the political threats to safety and security for the nation of Israel and for the people of God. But as they look around them and they look in fear and anxiety at those threats, which are very real to them, they can look but know that God is in control. And this psalm was a reminder that they need not fear because God is with them in their midst. The Lord Almighty is with us, sings out the refrain of verse 7 and then 11. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And the final stanza then is a call to respond to God and a summing up of his place as the maker and ruler of the earth. Sometimes it's easy for us to fix our eyes on our fears, on the things we're anxious or worried about. Like the tightrope walker who looks down and as a consequence is all wobbly and uncertain of himself instead of looking ahead at where he's headed. So it's easy for us to look around at what's the weather doing, is what's consequence going to have, what's happening in politics, what's going to happen to us, what's going to happen to our church, what's going to happen to me, the sickness that's going on. If that becomes our whole focus and we get blinkered, we need to lift our eyes up and see that God is with us. He is in control. He is sovereign. And remember that though those things happen, there will be trouble. The psalm doesn't deny it. In that trouble, God is with us, therefore we will not fear. In the trials we walk through, Don't fix our eyes on those struggles, but fix our eyes on our God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And so, in the final stanza and in verse 8, we're called to do just that. Verse 8 reads, "Come and see, fix your eyes on what the Lord has done. You think the natural world is powerful? It is. Look what God can do. You think that politics is what rules the world? Come and look what God can do. Come see what the Lord has done," verse 8. "The desolations he's brought to the earth. Can you see what he can do? He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He doesn't just use his power to bring destruction, but to bring about peace. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire." This is talking about God's sovereignty, which he displayed in the midst of Israel's life time and again, but which he will fully display in Christ's return and the culmination of the ages. God is powerful. The awesome power of Yahweh sent the Egyptians to their destruction, brought a flood upon the earth in the days of Noah, and preserved just his family and the animals in the ark. He created the heavens and the earth, the universe, out of nothing. And he doesn't use that power to his own advantage. He uses it to bring peace, to make wars cease. We need to fix our eyes on God, not on the twin fears described here, the natural and the political, which doesn't mean to totally disregard those very real threats and dangers in our lives. Doesn't mean there won't be trouble, but it puts them, as Milton and Peter have said, in perspective, that we might know God's strength and presence and comfort with us. And so verse 10 summarises, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations," political threat. "I will be exalted in the earth," natural threat. And he sums up together the two threats, the disaster of the sea and the mountains, and we're not in control of the weather and that forces, and the nations who threaten, and we don't know what's going to happen in politics, what's going to happen, what sort of morality are we headed towards as a nation. But those two things are turned around to be things that exalt God. How does that happen? Well, we know Jesus came, didn't he? And he walked on the water. He said, "Quiet, be still," to the sea, and it was. We know that God was able to use nations, even wicked nations like Babylon, to bring about his purposes. He's in control. And we also know that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and the nations will be forced to submit to God on the last day. He will bring that about. Therefore, we do not fear. We know that God is powerful and in control. And we know that he has sent Jesus. And so reading this psalm, not just as the Israelites who have seen God's redemption through the Exodus and look back and see his power. And it's worth reading this psalm and then reading Exodus 15, the song of Moses and Miriam, to see the parallels, huge parallels, as they were rescued out of the water and sung about it, as saw God's victory over their enemies and sung about it. So here, the psalm and the sons of Korah, or whoever put it to music, are echoing lots of those themes. But as we look at this psalm on the other side of Christ, we can see his victory, that in the turmoil of even death and death on a cross, Christ could win the victory, that he could be in control even at his own death in our place is just incredible. We have nothing to fear because God is in control, and he has demonstrated that through Jesus Christ. Do you know the Israelites, to some extent, misunderstood this psalm? Because they took comfort in the nation Israel and the city of Jerusalem, thinking, while ever we're here, God is with us and nothing can go wrong. While ever we're in this place, we're safe. But the security was never about a place, it was about God, the person with them. And the prophets warned them that if they were arrogant and said, "We're the people of God in Jerusalem, we're safe," and did not worship him or honour him properly, then they would be cast out. And eventually Ezekiel has the vision of the Spirit leaving, and that's what happened. and they were taken off into exile, and the city was not safe. We need to be wary that we're not trusting in the gifts God gives us, or think, oh, we're part of the church, we're safe. We're part of the Christian nation of Australia, we're safe. That kind of arrogance leads to downfall. We need to keep trusting in God, the person, and Him alone, in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, in whom alone we find security and safety, which is not to say that the difficult times won't come. The times of trouble and turmoil are assumed in Psalm 46, but in the midst of those things, we do not need to fear, because God is with us in Jesus Christ. And so the message of Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, come to deal with our sin by his death on the cross and rising to new life, is the message for us to cling to. That through trials and tribulations and rejoicing in good times, we know that he is with us. So we find strength and confidence in him. This is a psalm of confidence. God's presence with us is what we need to lean on for strength. We need to remind ourselves of all that he has done for us. Come and see what the Lord has done. We need to be still and calm. Reflect on God's word and his goodness to us in the midst of difficult situations, to know his strength and comfort. That's not always easy, because in the midst of struggle, it's very difficult for us to take our eyes off the struggle and fix our eyes on Jesus. We don't completely take our eyes off the struggle. We need to engage with that and be real and honest about what's going on. But we see it with the perspective of knowing that God is in control, that he is with us, and that there is nothing that can separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ. Neither trouble or hardship or turmoil or nakedness or danger or sword or famine or any of those things mentioned in Romans 8. But we have God with us, Emmanuel. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and all that he has done for us. Let's pray. Lord, may we take this psalm as our own, that amidst the turmoil of life, we would know your love and presence with us and be able to find confidence and no fear, but rejoice in your goodness. Lord, as we engage with friends and family, may the steady joy of knowing Christ, even in the midst of hardship, shine through, that people might see the joy and confidence that Christ gives us by his presence with us. May we comfort one another and keep reminding one another to fix our eyes on Jesus and not just on our troubles. And may we endure by your strength to the very end. God is our strength and refuge. Amen.